Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area, to bring you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We're aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And nothing of any significance has happened in the news, so I think we're just going to air 50 minutes of silence for the rest of the day, right?
Well, we at least need to do a moment of silence for our country. Is that right? You know, today, as we record, today is Wednesday, the 17th of July, 2024, in case you're listening to this in 2029. So, I know you've heard it all. I know we don't have to go too far into current events or the most important current event. But we do have to talk about it a little because that's our job. I mean, we tell people we're not a financial show. That's tongue in cheek, another money show. We are a show on current events and how they are likely to affect your finances, how they're likely to affect your life. You know, our motto is always the same. We want you proactive, not reactive. We want you prepared, not scared. I said last week or the week before, part of why we bring the negative stuff, in order for you to have the motivation to become prepared, you have to be somewhat scared. You can go to all kind of financial advisors and you can talk about Roth conversions. You can talk about your 401k allocations. We do that too. When you come in the office, if that's what you want to stick to, that's what we're going to do. But we also think we're in very uncharted territory in this country and in the world. So we've decided to go the road of making sure you know things are not as they appear. If we have time, we'll get into the stock market. I mean, last weekend, there was an assassination attempt at a former president. And Monday morning, I thought maybe there'd be a little bit of a ripple in the market to the downside. Of course not. Yesterday, on the 16th, the Teflon Dow was up 700 points. We're at about 41,000 on the Dow. If you've listened to this any length of time, you know the Dow Jones Industrial Average is 30 companies. When one doesn't perform satisfactorily to the powers to be at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, they take it out. The most recent being Walgreens. Walgreens was a laggard, so they took it out and they put in Amazon. Which, Amazon, good call. I mean, they are taking over the world, so good on them. Isn't today or yesterday Prime Day? I mean, we should have bought Pop-Tarts. I think it's Prime Day or that time frame. Anyway, so back to what's going on. I like that, Sam. Sam said trusting. It's like trusting a survey with only 30 respondents. Amen. And, you know, I mean, look at the S&P 500. Sam gave me a little information last week, I believe it was, and this is from Forbes, 6 out of the 500. It says here, the S&P 500 rose nearly 4% in the second quarter, yet 6 companies carried the entire index with 16% performance. The index's other 494 companies produced a 0.8 decline, with Nvidia, Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta producing the biggest gains. Their proportion of the index rose 31% from 27.6%, accounting for almost one-third of the S&P 500. What do you say, Dave Ramsey? What do we do here? Do we buy a good S&P growth fund and just let it ride? Is this manipulated this skewed market going to go forever? I mean, I really, that's a serious question, because I'll tell you what, everything in life cycles. If you're having a good day today, don't get too cocky. Tomorrow might suck. And you know what? If you're having a really bad day today, hang in there. Tomorrow should be better. I mean, that's life. The markets are forward looking. They say it's forward looking. So what are they looking forward to? The end of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. You know, USdebtclock.org, I popped into there yesterday. We are now at $34.9 trillion. I have to keep, you know, redoing the numbers in my head. So now we're just about to hit $35 trillion on that. Is that what the market's looking forward to? You know, inflation. Obviously, I'm not going to go too far into inflation because we all feel it. But inflation, now all of a sudden we're doing rate cuts again, are we, in September? So apparently the odds of cutting rates in 2 weeks are not that great. But in September, they're getting pretty good. There's an election on November 5th or something. So why are they lowering rates? Inflation. Apparently, Jerome Powell came out, said now we no longer have to achieve the Fed's 2% target inflation rate. You know, maybe 3 or 4 is close enough and we'll cut rates. The Fed, they're backed into a real big corner here. You know, I mean, the choice they have is higher inflation. And I would almost say this country is likely to hit hyperinflation one day, like, you know, Argentina, Brazil, Venezuela, you name it, or recession, which we've been in for a long time. So maybe we'll go into a depression.
And that would change the definition of a recession.
Yes. Transitory, non-existent. Yes, yes, yes. So I can't wait to see what happens next. We did hear that the new the COLA, the Social Security increase you can expect next year. Apparently, they're looking at 2.66%. So get ready. That's it. That's it for next year. So, I mean, this is all dumb. This is all really dumb. Anyway, let's get back to the current events for a second, because I do have a lot of financial stuff for today. I've got some really good articles. I've got a lot to cover, but we can't not talk about what happened. I mean, this stuff, I am a conspiracy theorist. You all know that. I have been for 2 decades. I don't think things add up. I mean, I'm one of these people that when I first learned about MK Ultra, I ran with that. I mean, I really, and by the way, if you're listening to us and you're not familiar with MK Ultra, do yourself a favor and start doing a DuckDuckGo search on it. I don't think it's ever stopped. I think they got caught. So I think this past weekend, and I'm sure I'll be missing after this week's show and have at it. By the way, I'm not suicidal. I really don't want to be missing. But if that's, you know, if one person hears this and goes, oh, that was weird, you know, JR was here last week, look up MK Ultra and then tell me if you're pretty convinced that that program ever stopped. So I think last week was a psyop. I've been hearing all the stuff about sloped roofs, just like you have. You know, the Secret Service could, you know, they might have gotten hurt if they were on a sloped roof. Although the shooter seemed to be on a sloped roof, but yeah, that's here or there. I'm hearing now there might have been a second shooter on the water tower. The trajectory of the bullet didn't look right. You know, is there a second shooter? Apparently, for about a half an hour, there was reports that I guess some of the police took pictures of the shooter with a ladder, and then with a rangefinder, and then with a bag. So I think they had plenty of time. You know, and I've had people say, well, you know, there was probably stand down orders. You think if somebody has a weapon and they're pointing it in toward a crowd, maybe stop that? They don't need, if there's the threat of deathly action, they don't need orders. They can just act. I know how this works. So I don't know. There's so much to this, you know, and some of the side stories too. This young person, apparently he was 20 years old. What kind of military training did he have? I want to know that. You know, part of my thing is when you go to fire a weapon, a lot of times in the most perfect conditions, you're at Shooter's World. We're looking for sponsors, by the way, Shooter's World. If you're in a range, and you're shooting downrange and you have ear protection and eye protection, and you know you're in a safe area, it's pretty easy to fire a weapon. If you're about to take somebody's life as a 20-year-old male, are you telling me the adrenaline isn't on high, pretty high? And you know what, by the way, if you're 20 years old, a lot of your formative years so far, I'd say they're not done, you've seen Snoop Dogg have a video that like makes a cartoon out of shooting Trump. You've seen Kathy Griffin with a head cut off of Donald Trump. You've seen Johnny Depp ask, you know, if people want, you know, an actor to assassinate a president. This is crazy. Madonna wanted to blow up the White House. Now, after last Saturday's attack, you got Jack Black and his buddy Kyle, you know, wishing that the shooter hadn't missed. I have so many things I've read here, and it's just, this is really, really scary and disgusting what's going on. You know, I mean, once you're like me, once you're open to conspiracy theories, everybody wants to message you and text you and send you theirs. And I have gotten a lot of screenshots of people basically celebrating last weekend. I'm sorry, but that's dangerous. I'm guessing if you're listening to us, you know that. I mean, that's kind of dangerous to wish somebody dead. You know, the opposite of democracy is political violence. You want to be democratic. You want people to have freedom and choice. And I don't know. I don't get it. So anyway, we had one of our regular listeners. He knows who he is. He's the guy that brought us the jargon generator. He does a synopsis of the show every week. Pretty sure he knows who he is when he hears this. He asked, you know, he texted me several times after it, and he wanted to know, like, if that's the black swan we're looking for. Absolutely not. And I texted him, and he texted him back, and we talked a little bit about it. Absolutely not. A black swan event is something we're not watching. I have been saying for probably a year now, Anthony, I'm sure you've heard it, I've been saying they cannot let this man back in office. Not only could he continue to seal the borders, make us energy efficient, all the stuff that he was doing, the gravy train would stop. You know, Bob Menendez, I'm looking at you. Apparently you were found guilty yesterday. Thank goodness. Slimy swamp creature. So, I mean, this thing with Trump, I think the Department of Justice, I think the CIA, I think the FBI, I don't think anybody can have this person come back. He might clean house. There might be a bunch of people incarcerated over the way this country's been run the last 4 years, but that's just me. So I've been saying for close to a year, the only two outcomes that are acceptable to the powers to be of this country, isn't that the same time, second time I said that today, powers to be, I don't know where that came from. The only outcome, jail Donald J. Trump or kill Donald J. Trump. There's no other outcome to this because they can't stop him. I mean, they cannot stop this man. And by the way, I did hear this morning, apparently some young lady, some woman, I only caught part of the story. I think that it was on the Chris Plant show. I think he said the woman's name was the only girl on the internet with a Twitter account. But anyway, so she's calling she wants somebody to kill the photographer who took the iconic photo of Trump getting up with a U.S. flag over him. You know what I'm talking about, Anthony? You've seen that picture?
Yeah, yeah.
Trump gets up pretty defiantly. He was just shot. So I don't think anybody would blame the man if he actually crawled off the stage to safety. No, not this guy. You know, he wants his shoes. He's worried about getting his shoes back. He stood up, raised his fist. I'm sure a bunch of people in the audience did the same, probably before him. And he was like, yeah, come get me. Have you ever seen the movie Scarface? I mean, this is Scarface. Yeah. I can picture a pile of cocaine in front. Oh, wait, no, that'll be at the White House. So that'd be mine. I can picture, you know, Trump is come say hello to my little friend. You can't stop this guy. And everything that happens, he becomes more popular. So my question, when we get to the end, which is coming close, I know I've beaten this to death and I said I wouldn't spend too much time. Is that the end of the incivility? Was that the crescendo? Was that the peak of what's going to happen politically this year? Or was that just the beginning? I personally think we might have a lot more weirdness between now and, you know, the October surprise. October is when the big BRICS meeting is. October is when they're going to revamp the money market rules for gates and fees in this country. November 5th is the election. So to answer our client and friend's question, This was no way, shape, or form a black swan event. It was actually quite unsurprising. We had heard about other attempts on the man. They just kind of keep that hush-hush. So, no, I think something's still going to pop out. You know, I mean, odds are very good that we have some civil unrest in this country still. You know, that's getting more likely. Odds are we still go into World War III, quite frankly. So I don't know. You know, one thought too. Just, this is me with sour grapes. So have you did it cross your mind that if this assassination attempt was on the other side of the political aisle, cities would have burned that night? Looking at you, Baltimore, Maryland, St. Louis, Chicago, LA, New York City. People would have taken to the streets right away. You know, today is Wednesday, the 17th, I believe I mentioned, and I'm still waiting for the fires. I'm waiting for the CVS's and the Wendy's to burn down. Nothing. But yet we're being told how right-wing extremists are the biggest threat to this country. I don't know. A lot of people that care about the country, you know, the U.S. flag is the new hate symbol. It's like, what on earth happened to this country? Anyway, so how does it end? Do we have more fun? Is this it? I don't know. And by the way, the Secret Service, yeah, DEI. I mean, that's being hammered to death. I think it's a good time to fire Kim Cheadle. I think everybody involved needs to be fired. If this wasn't a psyop, if this wasn't a purposeful problem, then the incompetence level is pretty high. I did hear that the A team for Secret Service was watching Dr. Jill Biden. The B team was handed over to Trump. So that's one of the things I heard. So I don't know. You know, they're obviously not dumb enough to have it pop its head out yet. But sooner or later, the cries to disarm the public are going to come out. You know that, right? A scary black rifle. Apparently, the shooter used an AR-15. By the way, if you're a sniper, use a 308. Don't use an AR-15. I mean, don't use a 223. But anyway, it's here. You know, here Gabby Giffords and whatever his name is, Mark the astronaut, have already come out. They don't condone this. Well, good. I think everybody should probably say it's not a good idea to shoot each other. But you know what? I got a thought for people that believe in the Second Amendment, because it is one of your rights. It's a right. So why don't we go about 2 or 3 years without a shooting? Let's not shoot up any schools or any cities. Let's get the gang violence. There was over 100 shootings on 4th of July weekend in Chicago, my hometown. It's like, let's go a while without any shootings, and then maybe I'll be more comfortable with the thought that we're playing nice enough where I don't think people need to be armed everywhere they go. I don't care where you go, store, church. If you're a person that's, you know, trained, obviously, I think you should be trained. Let me preface that. I probably wouldn't feel safe in this world, you know, without having something with you, because this world's crazy. So I just think if the violence level decreases for a while, then maybe you'd get further with your talks on unarming people. You know, I don't know. Is this you kind of see where I'm going with that, Anthony? I also noticed that the kid, back to PSYOP, I guess I can't let it go. Back to a PSYOP. Apparently, this young crooks dude was in a TV commercial for BlackRock.
Owns everything. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. And
I believe that is true.
Political assassinations, apparently.
I believe that is true.
You think BlackRock killed JFK? You think
Vanguard thing? Maybe BlackRock is the real MKUltra. Maybe BlackRock is the CIA. I don't know. So here's an article I found from the New York Post on the 15th of July. BlackRock Incorporated, the world's largest money manager. Anthony, I thought you were the world's largest. Anyway, so BlackRock, the world's largest money manager, has pulled an ad that briefly featured Thomas Crooks, the 20-year-old who shot and wounded former President Donald Trump at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania. So they pulled the ad that this young man is in it. If there's nothing weird, why do you need to pull the ad? If it's just a coincidence, there's no reason to pull the ad. That makes the crazy people like me who put on our tinfoil hat regularly, that makes us raise an eyebrow. Why don't you want to be connected with this, BlackRock? Is it just bad optics? Because we're BlackRock. We believe in peace and harmony and singing Kumbaya. We don't believe in shooting people. What? The ad was irrelevant. Nobody would have known about it unless you brought it up. So anyway, so it says here, the company said Crooks was a student at Bethel Park High School and appeared in the 2022 ad with other unpaid teens. I like how they're unpaid teens. BlackRock, maybe you need to do a GoFundMe for these kids. In 2022, we ran an ad featuring a teacher from Bethel Park High School in which several unpaid students, oh, unpaid again, students briefly appeared in the background, including Thomas Crooks. The company said to a statement to Reuters on Sunday, blah, 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 has been pulled. I mean, I know this is conspiracy theory on steroids. This is tinfoil hat stuff. I just think it's funny. Last thing I'll read from this article, the company noted that while the ad had been removed from circulation, it is still available for investigators to review and is being circulated on social media. Good, good. I love the internet. We've gotten to the point where our news is so, it's so contrived. It's, they're trying to keep important stuff from us. They're trying to tell us fake news. I think the internet is our only hope to get real life. I think memes have become really where to get your news. When you see a meme and it makes you chuckle, look into it. So, oh, I do want to read one more line. The company did not immediately respond to the post request for additional comment. Of course they didn't. Why would they? So, look at that kid. That's a world-class assassin. That's exactly, Sam just put a picture of the shooter up on the screen. That's, yeah. What the heck? It looks like Michael Anthony Hall from Breakfast Club. I don't think that's an assassin, but I don't know. BlackRock, which oversees an estimated $9.1 trillion in assets, has garnered backlash in the wake of previous shootings in the U.S. as some of its index funds own shares in gun manufacturers. What does that have to do with anything? Guns don't kill people. People with guns can use the guns to kill people. The gun is only a tool. It's the evil-hearted people that kill people. So I guess I have to educate BlackRock on that. And by the way, BlackRock, so you are embarrassed that people make money off of that industry. Do you invest in alcohol or tobacco companies? Do you invest in anything else that might actually hurt my health or kill me? If I'm a pack-a-day smoker, how many years of my life am I taking off? Shame on you, BlackRock. So, oh, the Biden campaign. Very last thing, and then we'll move on. The Biden campaign across the country, apparently, allegedly, suspended all of their ad campaign. Why? Same question with BlackRock. Why? Is it nasty? Is it divisive? Is it? Are you trying to polarize people? The only commercials I've seen, I'm not a big TV guy. I spent all my time reading in YouTube and, you know, I looked to Australia and the BBC and other countries to see what's going on in this country. But the only ads I've seen just by accident while I'm walking by the TV in the living room, very, very disturbing. You know, one, the first time I saw one, it actually stopped me and I watched the whole thing. It was basically saying, if Trump gets back in office, abortion is done. I don't want to go down that road, but I find it odd that the Biden administration is suspending all ads for the time being. I don't know. That means you must be embarrassed of your ads or something. Because if your ads are good and genuine and forthright, there's no reason to be ashamed. Bitey bite. Keep them going. All right. Should we move on? Let's move on. You know, we haven't talked about the 10 pillars in a long time. I thought I'd switch gears and talk about pillar number 10. If you go to our website at www.rochfordfinancial.com, look up in the upper left corner and you can find all of our shows for 2.5 years, by the way, if you like this stuff, on podcasts directly through our website. But you can also find the 10 pillars. And number 10, pillar number 10, civil war. So you might want to study up a little bit on pillar number 10, because I'm sorry to say this to you. I'm not sure how we avoid it. You know, when we had Seth Leibson, and I'm not trying to name drop Jack Nicholson, told me that was pretentious when I met him. But when we had Seth Leibson on the show, I believe that was February 10th or February 17th or something. He, remember the analogy, Anthony? I'm the boy that cried wolf. Ooh, Sam just put up the 10 pillars. Can you scroll down so I can read civil war to people? So, Seth Leibson addressed the boy that cried wolf, aka JR, and what was so perfect was that Seth pointed out that at the end of that story, there really is a wolf. So even though week after week, I come out all crazy, wearing my tinfoil hat, at the end of the day, I believe there's going to be a wolf coming. So pillar number 10, Civil War. This isn't something any one of us wants to consider as a possibility. But with all the divide in this country and political unrest, it's a real possibility to consider. Wealth gaps have led to revolutions in the past, and with our country's gap only showing signs of getting worse, what is the end game? This, coupled with all the other propaganda aimed at causing a divide, where do we go from here? And how does all of this affect you and your financial future? Don't forget, we put out the 10 pillars. We got to the 10 pillars before we started on 960 The Patriot, Saturdays at noon and replayed Sundays at 1. So we had this out 2.5 years ago. This was already out when we started the show. I urge you to go to our website and read the 10 pillars and see if we're missing something, seeing if we're on the right track. If you want to add to the 10 pillars, let us know, and we will modify. We haven't really revamped them in, at least 2.5 years. So, should we? Oh, boy, it looks like we're getting close to break time. I guess I wanted to at least address last week's unfortunate situation, and all of a sudden it took a half an hour, and I apologize for the length of that, but it's on my mind. So, we will do this. Why don't we take a break? And then we'll come back and I will do my very best to switch gears and talk about some financial stuff. If you like what you're hearing, as Anthony says every single week, please go to YouTube, check out our videos, help us, like, subscribe. Please find us wherever you find podcasts, Google, Amazon, Podbean, Spotify, wherever. We would greatly appreciate it. If you have show ideas for us, if you have questions, if you want to sit down with us, we will do traditional financial planning for you, and we will make sure you become prepared, not scared. You can email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com or go old school and pick up the phone. We're at 623-523-0444. Thank you so much for being with us.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Here we are. We're back. You're listening to Another Money Show on 960 The Patriot. And here is JR.
Listen to that calming voice. You seem so... Are you sad about the whole Civil War thing? Are you okay? That sounded
I'm prepared.
You're prepared, not scared? Have you been listening to Another Money Show on 960 The Patriot?
I have.
Saturdays at noon?
I don't get to host on the show, so I just sit and listen to it every week.
Yeah, but you can. I ask you every week if you have stuff you need to cover, and you're like, nah, just run with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. I love to hear myself talk. As your buddy Garrett would say, I know a lot of words, and I'm going to use every one of them today. So I did decide, as long as I was railing on the Second Amendment and the importance of it, remember how I said a few weeks ago I want Joe Rogan to be the president? I don't. I want Joe Rogan to be the vice president because he's younger and he can have a chance after the president. I want Ted Nugent. I remember Ted Nugent, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, talking about concealed carry permits and the government's overreach on our rights. And he was like, the Second Amendment is my concealed carry permit. I don't need to ask your permission to be safe just because I leave Arizona and go into California. If I go to New Jersey, where apparently they just had a big meteor. They had a meteor hit in New Jersey or New York, or it was a military explosion of some sort. So a friend of mine from back east texted and said he felt his house was shaking. And then he did some research and he found out it's either a military thing or a meteor. I'm like, oh, well, okay. What am I looking at? It's either an orange or a refrigerator. So I don't know. I just found that funny. You know, one more thing about guns and ammo and all that stuff, the Second Amendment. I haven't talked about it in a while. Being a veteran, having a son who's in the military, I like the military. I haven't brought this up in a while, but it kind of fits to this. You know what I don't like? I don't like the Wounded Warrior Project. Anthony, I haven't brought that up in a while. I've been thinking about it because Jay and I started going to a monthly veterans breakfast where they talk about what's important for veterans. I'm actually wearing my Veterans Affinity shirt today, and I saw another Wounded Warrior commercial yesterday in one of my little trips across the TV that I don't mean to do very often. And it reminded me of something that I have to bring up once in a while. If you send our young men and women to do battle in other countries and they lose an arm or lose a leg, IED, whatever, if they come back, there should be zero need for a Wounded Warrior program. We should not have a GoFundMe for somebody that was wounded, either physically or mentally. We shouldn't pass the hat. So I'm talking to you, Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen and Jared Bernstein and Joe Biden, talking to the Jays, the magnificent Jays. Stop this, having people gather their $20 a month to help our warriors. You pay for it. You sent them over. You take care of them when they get home. Just the thought, you know, with the draft upcoming and all that stuff, I thought it's good to bring that up once in a while. So I did say I would get off of what I, you know, what I was kind of stuck on and go to some current events. You want to talk about some financial stuff now?
Go for it.
Yes. The U.S., here's some for you. The U.S. Postal Service, the old USPS, will raise, this one's actually kind of makes me chuckle. They're going to raise the price of stamps again on Sunday, the second price hike in 2024, with the increase tying the record for the biggest hike ever. A first-class mail forever stamp will cost 73 cents, a 5 cent or 7% jump from the current price of 68 cents. The price of a forever stamp has increased 32.7% since 2021. 2021 to now, 3 years later, it's increased a third. Stamps have always gone up, but they've always gone up slowly. But I find this, not only does it give me a chuckle, USPS, that really needs to paint all your vehicles. And I mean, when we talk about inflation, when we talk, you know, during the break, the three of us talked about inflation, how it's up like 22.6 or something percent in the last 3 years. Stamps are up a third. So stuff we don't think about. And by the way, how does that end with the Postal Service? Every time you raise the stamp price, don't you think a few less people mail something and they figure out how to do online bill pay? They figure out how to email a Blue Mountain greeting card to their aunt for Christmas instead of mailing a Christmas card. Don't you think this is a catch-22? You know, stop raising the rates. Figure your budget out. I don't know. I've been saying for another thing I've been saying for 20 years, privatize the post office. Get the government out of it. All they do is muddy waters. So I thought that was fun. Here's some financial for you, switching gears, because I don't know how long I can talk about stamps. So we get a lot of, not a lot, but periodically, used to be more, now it's less, but periodically, people ask about being a fiduciary. And I'll summarize my thoughts on the fiduciary thing. First of all, I've been in the industry for almost 3 decades. So I feel like our office was running as a fiduciary office since we opened. We do what's right. We have gone independent years and years ago because we didn't like the pressure and the quotas of working for a firm or being a captive agent, for example. So here's some for you. And we've said to you, if the government has to come in and tell you to put the client's best interest before your own, you're in the wrong industry. I have always thought if you help manage somebody's health or their finances, why don't you do what's right? Yes, you might make less of a living than those that don't, but you're doing the right thing. So maybe there's karma. You know, maybe there's an afterlife. Maybe you should do the right things without the government telling you what to do. But anyway, as it evolved, when it came in under Biden, you know, I went to the AIF course, the accredited investment fiduciary course. I had a broker dealer that said, you all have to be a fiduciary. Well, that's a good thing. And I remember talking to a buddy of mine and I was like, how are you going to handle this? He's like, I'm not. I'm like, what do you mean you're not? It's going to be extra paperwork. They're going to cut our commissions on every product. What do you mean you're not going to address it? He's like, the clients either trust me or they don't. If I have to put an extra form in front of them to sign saying they realize I get paid a commission, they realize I'm able to sell more than one product, they're just going to sign it. I'm not going to show it to them. I'm not going to go over it. I'm like, okay, well, that's not what they told us to do, but okay. So anyway, then how it's evolved. So under Biden, it came, or I'm sorry, under Obama, well, same thing. Under Obama, it came in and they said, you're going to be a fiduciary. Then under Trump, it was suspended. It was put on the back burner. And now under Biden, it's come back. You know, they're going to re-bring this up. So it's interesting because we're waiting into this fall to see what the final result is. Well, here's an update for you. This is, it says here, a bill to stop the Biden administration's new fiduciary rule published by the Department of Labor in April is headed for a full vote in Congress after two committees this week approved it. But the rule may die regardless of what legislators decide due to a recent Supreme Court ruling. The House Education and Workforce Committee passed by a 23-18 vote a Congressional Review Act resolution to disapprove the new fiduciary rule. Separately, the House Appropriations Committee also approved by a 31-25 vote a bill preventing the Department of Labor from using any funds to administer, implement, or enforce the new fiduciary rule and related prohibitive transaction exemptions. Both acts are headed to full votes in the Congress. So President Biden is expected to veto the bill if passed. My couple things for you on this. When I said DOL, the Department of Labor, do you realize the fiduciary rule when it came on the scene was through the Department of Labor? It was not through the Securities Exchange Commission. It didn't have FINRA oversight. It was the Department of Labor. So there's one question I have for you. Do they know as much about how to handle people's retirement funds as the others? So another thing, we have said for years, it just became a marketing buzzword. If you weren't an accredited fiduciary, the semantics of this, people were like, oh, you better not work with anybody that's not a fiduciary. It's like, well, hate to tell you, you know, you're either going to have a good representative or not. Every industry has good reps and bad reps. If you get a good one, whether they're an accredited fiduciary or not, they're going to do what's right for you. They're and you know what? I've done what's right for you all for years and years, and somehow I've still made a living. I've never been homeless. I've never been eating cat food, and I've always erred on the side of doing what's right. Anthony, you've been in the office 6 years already. So have you. You have the heart that I have to help people first and foremost. If we can make a living, do so. That's icing on the cake. But anyway, so I just thought I'd like to let you know, if you're still worried about whether or not your representative is a fiduciary, it's on hold. So right now they are not. And it's somewhat likely, especially depending on what happens with the election, that the fiduciary rule is dead and gone. But we'll see.
Well, unless they've got a 65 license, then they're a fiduciary through definition. Well,
yes, that is true. That is true. And my thing is, I don't care what kind of license they have, 6, 7, 65, 63, securities, 1. I don't care what license they have. My point with fiduciary, either do what's right or don't. I don't care who tells me to do what's right. If I'm not going to do what's right, I'm going to find a way around your rule. If I'm going to do what's right, I don't care that you tell me to. I'm still going to do what's right. So I've never been a fan of bigger government. So I start out with the fiduciary rule. Like, here we go again. You're going to run my industry like you run the post office? Are we going to have to raise the price of stocks again? So I just thought I'd bring that up to you because a lot of people are, you know, we still hear the word fiduciary. We're like, well, I don't know. I mean, it's not a thing right now. So we're supposed to do what's in the best interest of the client, if that helps. You know, years ago, they called it suitable. We're supposed to have suitability standards that make sure it's suitable for the client. Come up for air for a second. Take a breath, as the one and only Sam Davis would say during the break. So switching gears to a few quick articles. The Daily HODL on the 13th of July, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, suffer $3.5 billion in losses as U.S. banks report major surge in bad debt. during the break, I had mentioned to you kids that, you know, the repossessions, the car, the auto repos is up 23% year to date. You don't hear about that in the news, do you? It's the economy's great. Unemployment is robust. Inflation's down to 3%. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people not feeling it. Credit card defaults are surging. People are not paying their student loans back. Luckily, they'll all get forgiven. But anyway, this article's kind of interesting. It's real quick. Two of the largest banks in the U.S. are declaring a loss on a whopping $3.5 billion in debt that customers can't pay back. JPMorgan Chase says its net charge-offs, which are delinquent debts that banks do not expect to receive, hit $2.2 billion in the second quarter of the year. That's a $200 million increase from the previous quarter and an $800 million, we're talking big money here, increase from Q2 of 2023. Meanwhile, Wells Fargo, aren't those the people that open fake accounts? Wells Fargo says its net charge-offs surged from $764 million in Q2 of 23 to $1.3 billion last quarter, a 70% increase. Anthony, last week we brought up the fact that JPMorgan Chase, that Chase is going to, what, start doing fees or raise the fees on like 86 million customers? They're not going to take these losses, kids. We are. So get angry with the banks. By the way, there's still a modern day run on the banks going on. It's actually hard to hide. If you go to your FDIC.gov and look up depositor insurance fund, you're going to find that roughly the coverage on your accounts of 250,000 and under is 1.17%. So we have solutions for you. We have alternatives for you. We can help you ladder out your money. We can help you with ideas like paying down debt, buying hard assets, using short-term insurance products, keeping some cash at home to get it ready for the big central bank digital currency, which is a-coming, and what to do about it. Anyway, so JPMorgan Chase reported a quarterly profit of $13.1 billion as its stock hovers near all-time highs. That's the end of the article. So you're just saying how you're getting creamed, and we're at the end of this year through next year, then we have to start talking about commercial real estate defaults. So this is the tip of the iceberg. But at the end, we talk about how they're making record profits. So they're going to screw us to the wall with higher fees and make up these losses. And yet they're doing pretty good. They're doing pretty good. The stock's pretty good. So this is another example of how the rich get richer, the poor hover, and the middle class is shrinking on steroids. Welcome to it. Speaking of banks, which is always one of my favorite subjects, a bank created fake accounts. Anthony sent this article to me. Actually, it was funny because the same day you sent me an article and I sent you an article from two different news sources on the same thing. A bank created fake accounts, forced clients into unnecessary car insurance, and repossessed vehicles when they didn't pay. Now it's agreed to a $20 million penalty. So the issue with this, by the way, if you want to look this up and make sure I didn't pull it out of my ear, this is from Yahoo Finance. And it's CNN penned it on the 9th of July. So right away, when you hear 20 million, you're like, amateurs, you know, JB Chase, they were what, $9 billion. I mean, they have felonies. So amateurs, you know, but this is another bank. It's just one more bank shenanigans. There it is. Sam, you are fast at the internet searching. So this one is one we don't really talk about that often. Fifth Third Bank on Tuesday said it agreed to pay $20 million in penalties imposed by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to settle a CFPB investigation into its auto insurance practices and a 2020 lawsuit the agency filed pertaining to the bank's creation of fake customer accounts. Don't you think it's time for Fifth Third Bank to merge with Wells Fargo? I mean, this is such a symbiotic relationship. So let's see here. Fifth Third Bank demanded borrowers pay for coverage. Listen to this. What if you're one of these customers, or what if you just care about other people? Fifth Third Bank demanded borrowers pay for coverage they did not need or else face delinquency, additional fees, and repossessions. The agency said in a statement, Fifth Third Bank conducted repossessions of vehicles when the delinquency was caused by the bank charging unnecessary and duplicate coverages. Anything else I need to read here? Oh, yeah, it continues later in the article. The proposed order has also, it's going to ban Fifth Third from setting employees' sales goals that incentivize fraudulently opening accounts. So, I mean, what the heck is going on in this world? I don't know. I mean, I just find it funny that these banks are so ridiculous and they have no money and we're going to have a bail-in. I mean, it's crazy, but here's another example, and it's not one of the big names, so I thought you'd like to hear about it. Want to move on or talk more about the evil banks? By the way, this CFPB, what is that again? The consumer. So they protect me, right? They're like a patient advocate, like an ombudsman. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. If you guys are listening, if any of you are listening to Another Money Show, reach out because we want to talk to you on the show. We'll do a mini segment with you. And I'm going to ask you, along with looking for these banks that are doing ridiculous, corrupt things that can really hurt somebody's credit score and their life and their mental state of mind, why don't you start doing what we're doing on this show and warn people about FedNow, Executive Order 14067. Why don't you tell people to go on FDIC.gov and look up how much money their money's insured for? Why don't you make sure you explain what a bail-in is before it actually happens here? So you're going to protect people, are you? It's just another, you know why the banks are sorry? And I'm sure if I read that article further, it'd say they haven't commented yet. Of course they haven't. You know what? The only remorse any of these people have, I believe personally, they got caught. They're not going to change their ways. We aired it all last week. It's cheaper to pay fines than to fly right. Maybe the government should make banks a fiduciary. maybe we can have fiduciary standards for people that manage your CDs and your checking and money markets and all that. Switching gears to the government. Let's go back to the government. Then this is from Zero Hedge on the 10th of July. Look at me banging through these articles because they're fun. I'm having fun now. I'm done thinking about assassination attempts and wounded warriors. I moved on to fun stuff. Nationwide 500,000 EV charger charade. That's the name of the article. It's by Zero Hedge on the 10th of July. Let me just read a hair of it. The word charade has several meanings, and including an act or event that is clearly false. That's from the Cambridge Dictionary. Something done just for show. That's from vocabulary.com. Or a situation in which people pretend that something is true when it clearly is not. The charade I refer to is President Biden's $7.5 billion investment to install 500,000 electric charging stations along America's highways by 2030. That's, you know, I mean, we have to all go green, right? We're going EV. We're getting rid of gas-powered cars. So anyway, we are now in the second year of the program. Second year. And only 7 stations have been opened so far. At this rate, it will require thousands of years to build all 500,000 charging stations, assuming there are sufficient funds to do so. Do you remember the Inflation Reduction Act? Do you remember all these different acts we've talked about since we started the show? They got the money. They earmarked, they approved, they got the money. So we've built 7 stations out of 500,000, and we're in the second year of the program. All right. Global consulting firm McKinsey and Company estimates that the U.S. will need 28 million charging ports by 2030. There are just 2 million ports today. So we need 28 million, and we got 2 million. So we got a few to go. To meet the goal, about 12,000 new public and private charging ports will need to be added every single day to reach the goal by 2030. I have trouble reading some of this stuff. $800,000 for each station is significantly more than the $15,000 committed by the administration. Let me get this right. So the people that ran the post office in the ground, I'm sorry, I keep referring back to the stamps just because it's hilarious. So they estimated it was going to be $15,000 for a charging station. Turns out they were off by a little bit. I don't get it. So at this rate, $500,000 charging stations will cost the government $400 billion, not the $7.5 billion the president has promised. All right. Charade, good word. Charade is a good word for what's going on in this country on every single financial level there is. Fifth Third National Bank. It's kind of a charade, right? You're making sure people get their car taken from them. You're opening fake accounts just like your Wells Fargo, like you're the stepchild of Wells Fargo. You know, I mean, we're broke. 34, make sure you make your way to usdebtclock.org and follow along. Go on like once a week. So $34.9 trillion in debt. But at least we have 7 new charging stations, so I feel like it was all worthwhile. I'm going to give up my Ford F-150 and join. Oh, can't I get a Ford F-150 Lightning or something? Isn't there a Ford F-150 EV now? I'm sure that'll take me all the way to Flagstaff without having to stop, won't it? Maybe. So moving on. Ooh, Sam put next week. We have a segment. Oh, no, he said next segment. Cybertruck. Love it or hate it. I mean, what? Cyber, have you seen one? It looks like the top of one of those old metal garbage cans. Like I want to swing the top of it, put some trash in it. No, I don't know. I'm not mean to make fun of it. Everybody's taste is different. Luckily, my taste doesn't allow me to ever think about buying a Tesla Cybertruck personally. So we got time for another article, right, Sam? We still have some time. Let's get to Forbes. Let's get to Forbes on the 14th of July. It's Digital Assets is who put this out. Janet Yellen. I didn't think I brought up my favorite cartoon last week, so I can't go 2 weeks without bringing up Jan. So Janet Yellen quietly admits serious U.S. dollar collapse fears as Trump primes Bitcoin for a $4 trillion price surge. I love this article. This was sent to us by one of our new friends and clients named Kevin. Kevin, you know who you are. Good article. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned countries around the world are moving away from the U.S. dollar as the spiraling $34 trillion in U.S. debt pile fuels fears of collapse, you think? With Bitcoin and crypto slowly chipping away at the dollar dominance. So I guess this is sounding the alarm. Make sure you liquidate all of your gold, silver, dollars, all that, and buy Bitcoin. So Bitcoin price has rocketed over the last year, climbing despite a critical Federal Reserve warning and helped by betters. What do you mean betters? If this is the next currency, what do you mean betters? This is a sure thing, right? Increasingly confident former U.S. President Donald Trump will be retaking the White House in November. Now, as the radical Project 2025, oh man, I'm not going to get to it today. I was going to bring up Project 2025 because it's growing legs. So do this. Make sure you start looking up Project 2025. So I don't know if Donald Trump knows about 2025. I know it's a conservative. It's what, you know, the conservative movement would like to see in the government. What I've read so far, I've read the highlights and I've read a couple opinion pieces on it. It depends how you slant it. It can be good or bad. The bottom line I take from 2025 is we are going to get the hell rid of DEI. No more of this. You have to hire Secret Service. Kim, I'm looking at you. She says we have to hire 30% women for the Secret Service. It'll get rid of that. So anyway, last sentence, because I know we got to check out of here. Now, as the radical Project 2025 policy plan puts Bitcoin on a collision course with gold, Yellen has said she fears U.S. financial sanctions will reduce the role of the dollar around the world as Russia encourages the use of Bitcoin and crypto. You did the same sanctions, you cartoon. So, yeah, the same woman that put all these things in place with her little cohorts is now saying that maybe they weren't a good idea. You know what? I can't wait till I'm the president. Anyway, I can't read anymore, and I highlighted a bunch more of this because it's just hilarious, but go ahead and look the article up. Reach out to us if you want us to give you any of these. We'll send them to you. I have a link to every one of the articles we reference. With that said, Anthony, I hate to do this. You didn't really say much today. I wanted you to do half the show today, but you just...
Now is my time to shine because that was it for today's show. If you like what you heard, have any questions on any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal financial situation, you can find us on YouTube. You can listen to old and other Money Show episodes wherever you like and subscribe to podcasts. If you want to reach out to us, reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. There's a little contact form there. And you can schedule appointments straight from the website too. So anyways, if you reach out, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. And you get to see JR rant in person.
Yay.
For now, we'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.